So our reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and reading verses 10 to 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" And a reading from the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 4, verses 32 to 34. "But he said to them, 'I have food to eat, of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work.'" And a reading from the Heavenly Doctrines is from the work, the Arcana Celestia, number 5293. "In the internal sense, food means, strictly speaking, those things which nourish a person's soul, that is, which nourish him when his bodily life is ended. For when this is ended, his soul or spirit is living, and he no longer needs material food as he did in the world. But he does need spiritual food, which consists in everything that has a useful purpose and everything leading to this. That which leads to what has a useful purpose is knowing what goodness and truth are, and that which has such a purpose is the desire to realize these in actions. These are the things with which angels are nourished, and which are therefore called spiritual and celestial foods. A person's mind, the place within him where his will and understanding, that is, his intentions or ends in view, reside, is nourished by no other kind of food, even while he lives in the body. Material food does not extend as far as that. It extends only to his bodily parts, which are sustained by the material food, to the end that the mind may be sustained by food for the mind, while the body is sustained by food for the body. That is, to the end that there may be a healthy mind in a healthy body." So last week we looked at this largely around the death of Moses and then the coming into leadership, or the children of Israel coming under the leadership and authority of Joshua, and we looked at what was spiritually represented by this passing of the leadership. So the death of Moses and then the rise of Joshua in order to lead the people into the land. And this represented a shift in the state of mind of a person when they move from being led from an affection for knowledge to a desire or an affection to actually apply that knowledge to life. By life, we saw that we mean the inner life predominantly, although the external life, of course, is a product of the internal life. And so the focus here is on the internal life, the life of activity of our thoughts and our affections. And so Joshua, he represents the Lord. And the Lord is the Word, so Joshua represents the understanding of the Word that arises when we look to begin to bring it into life. That is, when we begin to apply it to the life of our mind. And this occurs through the work of self-examination and repentance, or self-reflection from a desire to wanting to find those things that block out the life of heaven and have the Lord remove them. And it's an important point, and it shouldn't be lost on us. The understanding of the Word that is represented by Joshua only comes into existence for us when we make a real effort to do inner spiritual work on ourselves. It's a basic spiritual law. We are given only what we need. And what we need is governed by what we are prepared to do with what we've already been given. So we are not given a surplus. In our daily lives, we are given what we need. Indeed, the Lord's Prayer is daily bread, for Him to give us daily bread. And so this idea is one of living in what's presenting in the moment. Not living in the future, not living in the past, but living in what is presenting, what the Lord is bringing up for us in the moment. Because that is what we need to work with. Now, in regard to this inner work, the Word and the heavenly doctrines are to be regarded as food. They are what sustains, nurtures, and what builds us, what provides what is necessary for our spiritual growth and development. They are bread for the inner man. And in order to benefit from the goodness that's contained within them, we have to take them into our life. We have to take them into our minds. So this is done by reading and studying them with a view to having them govern our inner and outer dimensions of life. They are food for the spiritual man because the spiritual man is our mind. And the mind is built up through feeding on ideas and concepts, living from them or extracting what is good from them in order that we might live a more effective life. Now, food of a spiritual quality is ideas and concepts that support spiritual ends, spiritual goals. And these are identified by spiritual Christianity as love to the Lord and love towards our neighbor. So living a spiritual life requires us to respond to the Word in order that spiritual food might be prepared for our inner life. And so we read in verses 10 and 11 that Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare food for you. For within 3 days you are crossing this Jordan to go in to possess the land which Jehovah your God is giving to you to possess it." Now, this whole process is one we are undertaking in seeing how the scriptures can be understood so that they can be applied to a more internal approach to spiritual life. And this is what is meant by preparing food. Notice that this command to prepare food comes from Joshua and is given to the officers, who then in turn are to pass on the command to the people. Joshua, the officers, and the people. And the command moves down through those levels. And we have seen this threefold structure before in the Word when we were looking at the book of Exodus. There it was Moses, Aaron, and the people. And so this is a similar thing to what is described here. Joshua, as we have seen, represents the Word, and as such is that through which the Lord makes himself known. How we understand the Word or interpret it depends on the spiritual teachings we hold to. And those spiritual teachings we hold to are what constitutes our doctrine. Now, the term officers in this verse also means scribes. It can be translated scribes. And this fits for us because it is our doctrine that determines how the Word is inscribed on the mind. What you believe determines how you understand the Word, how it is inscribed upon your mind. So by the Word stating that Joshua commanded the officers, it teaches us that the Word is understood in accordance with the doctrine a person holds, because these officers are our doctrine. If the spiritual teachings we hold to emphasize an inner focus and application, then this is how the Word will be understood and used. On the other hand, if it is focused more on the literal meaning, then what will be seen as important will be the things that have to do with the more external aspects of life. And this is why so much of the Bible can mean different things to different people. Spiritual Christianity takes an inner focus in regard to its application of spiritual or biblical truths to life. Just as an example, some of those who take a more literal view of the book of Joshua hold to doctrines that use its contents as a justification for the existence of a Jewish state, the state of Israel in the world. And that's all they focus on in the scriptures. They understand it to relate to Israel as part of this world. Therefore, when they read stories and interpret them, they interpret them according or in a way that supports their view, their doctrine. In the new church, the teaching or doctrine is that all things in the Word concern themselves solely with spiritual things, and that the literal text is a mere container which, when spiritually understood, is seen to open up in detail the inner processes concerning the spiritual regeneration of the human mind. So the land of Israel becomes the human mind, and it has nothing to do with a land in the world. This is how it is spiritually understood. So when we come to the book of Joshua and apply the teachings of the heavenly doctrines, we find ourselves being instructed by the Word or by Joshua to prepare food that is of a spiritual nature and quality if we want to begin this inner journey that leads to the mind or the land of Canaan being transformed from an image of hell into an image of heaven. Now, the particular quality of the food that needs to be prepared for this inner journey can only come into being as the officers or scribes or spiritual principles found in the heavenly doctrines are able to pass through the camp. Right, that word camp can be translated host, through the host. Now, the Hebrew term camp or host is a term that refers to things of a military nature, armies. And in the inner world of the mind, militant things have to do with the ideas we use to defend our position, or the arguments we use to attack what comes against our position. So military things have to do with the way truths are organized within the mind. That is the camp or the host. So this camp or host, as far as our internal man is concerned, is made up of all those pieces of the literal sense of the word that contain truths and that we have taken into our memory and have gathered there and are now camped in our memory. All those truths of the literal sense of the word. This is the Lord's host. Now, while in Moses, as we saw last week, there is represented the processes of spiritual instruction whereby we have a gathering of the host into the mind or memory, the state of mind, the spiritual state represented by Joshua, is one of having this host organized into a force that's able to defeat what stands against what is good and true. This requires doctrine or teachings that enable us to see how the stories of the Word can be applied to this task, this inner task. And these teachings that we need in order to see how the Word can be applied, these are found in the heavenly doctrines. These teachings are able to bring the things of the Word in our minds, into an order, into a militant order, by which the things of the Lord can be advanced and defended within our minds. So in other words, we need doctrines to organize our understanding of the Word so that our mind can be in its proper created order, the order that the Lord intended for the human mind. Now, this process of ordering our mind as far as our understanding of the Word is concerned requires the officers to pass through the camp. In other words, we need to bring our understanding of the doctrines represented by the officers when we read the Word in an effort to understand its more internal application for us. In its most simple internal application, the statement concerning the officers being commanded to pass through the camp, this is a command from the Lord, from the Word, to us to use the teachings or principles found in the heavenly doctrines to bring order to our understanding of the Word. It is this inner or spiritual understanding of the Word that is able to sustain us and so serve as food for the journey into our own personal land of Canaan. Now we can further confirm that this is indeed what is meant here. For the Word through, the Hebrew word translated through in the phrase pass through the camp, this word actually means the center or the inward part. And it is often used in the word to refer, particularly in the Psalms, of the inner faculty of a person's thoughts and affections. So in the meaning of this Hebrew word, we have its spiritual meaning revealed. Has to do with the realm of the thoughts and the affections. It is also the same word used when the Lord promised to place His law in the inward parts of His people. Jeremiah 31:31-33 says this, "Behold, the days come, says Jehovah, that I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I cut with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says Jehovah. But this shall be a covenant that I will cut with the house of Israel. After those days, declared Jehovah, I will put my law in their inward parts." It's the same word there as through the camp. "In their inward parts, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, while it is the Lord who does this, it cannot be done without our cooperation. The Lord writes His laws on our inward being as we use the word, or Joshua, and the offices, or doctrines, to transform our understanding of the literal stories of the word represented by the host or the people. And that transformation means that these stories then become food. They then become support, or they take a form in which they can support our inner spiritual growth and development. And this is how they serve as food for the mind. It is this that leads to the development of a state of mind that enables this crossing of the Jordan and entry into the land of promise. So the question now is, what does the Jordan River spiritually represent? What is it that we have to cross in order for this meaning of the word to come forth and support us in this internal journey? Last week we spoke about the River Jordan, that it forms a border between what stands outside the land of Canaan and what is contained within the land of Canaan. So in general, we can say that the land of Canaan represents that part of the human mind that is largely concerned with the internal things that belong to the church or to spiritual life. This being the case, we can see that the lands mentioned in the word that fall outside the borders of Canaan, particularly where they hold some sort of connection with the people of Israel, these must represent the more external things of the church or of spiritual life. Now, by the things of the church, we are not talking about the things that belong to an external organization. Rather, we mean those things that have to do with our understanding of the word. That is what the church is. The church is our understanding of the word within us. It's the word itself and the word alone that makes up the things of the church. And so we find the teaching in the heavenly doctrines that a church is only a church in accordance with its understanding of the word. Now we know that the word has an external and an internal aspect to it. The external aspect, which is its body, is accommodated to the natural understanding of people, and it's what we call the literal sense. The internal aspect is its soul or its spirit. And this lies within the external, and we call this the spiritual sense of the word. Now, to prepare food for the crossing of the Jordan is to make or take the necessary preparations that can support us to move beyond the fallacies of our senses. Okay? To move beyond the literal meaning that arises from the word. We need to move beyond that. We need to move into the spiritual meaning that lies within it. So to do this, we need to know that there is a spiritual meaning, that in fact there is a meaning that exists that applies to the internal life. Because without knowing this, we won't seek it. We won't seek to understand it. We also won't seek it if we can't see a good reason for doing so. So we need to see why it's important to acquire a deeper understanding of these things. And this is where the understanding provided in the heavenly doctrines is vital. For these give us the ability to see that there is indeed deeper meaning within the scriptures. And it also shows us the purpose or the use for which this deeper meaning is given. So just to summarize things a bit, in preparation for this crossing over into the more interior things of life, we need to motivate ourselves to read the Word daily. We need to do it. Our spirit is fed by it. And if we don't do it, our spirit won't be fed. We need to learn about the spiritual principles found in the heavenly doctrines. And as difficult as some of them might seem to begin with, we have to persevere. Because these things structure the mind in a way that makes the Lord much more visible in His Word, and so makes His presence with us that much more real. So read the Word, learn about the doctrines. Then we need to use these principles to build our understanding of the Word's application to the inner life of our mind. And the last thing we need to do is we need to make an effort to use this understanding in working with the Lord to have the evils and falsities we recognize as we do this removed from our life. Now, everybody who does this kind of work knows that evils and falsities become apparent as they look to apply the word to their inner life. If you don't do that work, you won't see them. And so you go on believing that there is nothing that needs attending to. Joshua only comes into being, that is, that understanding of the word represented by Joshua only comes into being as we take what we have, little as it might be, and look to apply it to the inner life of the mind. Then we will see what we need to fight against. If we don't have the food, we can't cross the Jordan. If we don't cross the Jordan, we can't see what's in there and possessing the land. But as we take the word into our life, and we take the doctrines into our life, and we understand the word from the doctrine, so the doctrine and the word come together and begin to reveal what it is we need to fight against. So if we do this, if we give spiritual things a priority in our life, if we begin to value them more than external things, then heaven will begin to appear more present with us. We'll be more conscious of it. And it will have a greater impact on our states of life in a real way for the good of all. And this is because the internal things of heaven only become more conscious to us as those things in our external man that oppose the life of heaven are being removed. Just makes sense. The key then to understanding the inner meaning of the scriptures is not to have a piercing and powerful intellect. That's not what it's about. The key to understanding the internal meaning of the scriptures for you personally is to work on your life with what you have. And then the Lord will reveal what you need to go further. This is how it works. We may know the word, may know all the stories in the literal sense. We might even know a large amount of the doctrines. But unless we use them by looking to life, this knowledge can't help us. It is our willingness to work with them that they are brought together, that they come together as a seamless whole, that they come together as a fighting force able to defend what is of heaven within us. Now that first force of real interchange is described in our reading today as the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the things we'll consider in detail next time we look at this journey of Joshua and the people of Israel across the Jordan into the land of Israel. Amen.